Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you'd be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we began looking at an article that was in the Huffington Post. The date is June 2nd, 2015, titled, Are We Mormons a Cult? It was written by a Mormon author by the name of Mettie Ivy Harrison. She's the author of The Bishop's Wife. And I thought she had some very thoughtful things to say in this piece, and we wanted to go through it, looking at some of her defenses for against being labeled such a way, but that at the same time, she is honest enough to say that sometimes Mormons do give some impressions that would probably lead to that kind of a conclusion. Yesterday, we went through her list of 10 signs of a cult, and again, as I explained yesterday, I don't know if this is her own personal list or if she got it from somewhere else, but she goes through this article, breaking it down, explaining why she feels that her church should not be guilty of these various categories. So now we're going to look at a portion where she talks about when Mitt Romney was running for president.
When Mitt Romney was a candidate for president, Mike Huckabee made a big fuss over a few Mormon beliefs that went outside the lines as far as most fundamental Christians were concerned, including the idea that Christ and Satan were brothers and that Mormons don't believe in the Trinity. There are a number of Mormon beliefs that are variations on typical Christian beliefs, including universal resurrection, an emphasis on work rather than grace alone, and the belief that men can become gods.
Now, that's interesting that she does admit that, the men can become gods, because isn't that something that the Mormon apologists are now trying to downplay?
Yep.
They're trying to act as if, oh no, what we believe is really not much different than what they believe in Eastern Orthodoxy. Now, we know that's not true because Eastern Orthodox scholars have said as much, but we keep hearing this. But she at least admits this. But then when she says, there are a number of Mormon beliefs that are variations on typical Christian beliefs, including universal resurrection. Now, I'm not quite sure if she's trying to imply that we as Christians don't believe in a universal resurrection, because we most certainly would.
Right. Resurrection unto life and also damnation.
According to what Jesus said in John chapter 5, of course. So we do believe that. But we would not hold, as Mormons do, that general resurrection can be equated with salvation by grace. We
right.
certainly would not hold that. And yet Mormon leaders have made that kind of a connection. She does admit this emphasis on work rather than grace alone. I'm glad she's admitting that. And certainly that would set them outside the parameters. But when she talks about Mike Huckabee's statement that Christ and Satan were brothers, I think he used the word the devil, didn't he, when he said it? Don't they believe that Jesus and the devil are brothers?
Yeah, I think so.
I remember Mormons howling over that as if somehow Mike Huckabee was not telling the truth. And certainly Mike Huckabee was telling the truth, because that is what Mormon leaders have taught. But yet we still have many Mormons looking at Mike Huckabee as taking an unfair shot at what Mormonism teaches, when in fact Mormon leaders have taught that very thing. And she even admits this in this paragraph as she goes on.
On the one hand, Mormonism is clearly a Christian religion, since we believe Christ was a literal Son of God and we use the Bible as a scripture, though we believe the Book of Mormon is a more pure translation of Christ's word.
Now, let me stop you there, Eric, because I think right here we have a problem. On the one hand, Mormonism is clearly a Christian religion, since we believe Christ was the literal Son of God. Is that what you believe as a Christian?
No, not at all.
I don't know of any Bible-believing Christians, I don't know of any evangelical Christians that would hold that Christ was the literal Son of God. How does that play out in the Mormon understanding of things? Well, they would believe that God the Father, the one they call Elohim, is married in heaven. They have bodies of flesh and bones, and yet in the pre-existence, the time period in which we lived before we came here into mortality, God and one of his wives, depending on which Mormon you talk to, but they usually always talk about at least one wife, Heavenly Mother, they had physical relations with each other, and one of the products of that physical relationship was a firstborn son they call Jehovah. That's where they get the idea that he is the literal son. Now, I don't get the impression, although she may be thinking that, that maybe she's talking about Christ's incarnation being the literal son of Elohim, and that would go along with the teaching that God the Father, with a body of flesh and bones, came to earth for a time and physically impregnated Mary. Again, this is a doctrine that has been taught by Mormon leaders. I don't know if she's alluding to that particular teaching in this paragraph, but that is certainly a part of Mormonism, which would separate it from Christianity.
In this, she also refers to Article 8, that they do accept the Bible as a scripture, though the Book of Mormon, she says, is a more pure translation of Christ's word. So the Bible is true only as far as it's translated correctly.
And again, we know that that word translated is not being used correctly. Many lay people might understand it to really mean translation, going from one language to another, but Mormon scholars have been honest enough to admit, and even Joseph Smith was honest enough to say it as well, that this really is more of a problem that they think lies in the transmission of the text, not necessarily the translation of the text, because I think most Mormon scholars would admit that the translations that we have in English are very good translations. They just feel that the text from which they are translated has been corrupted over the years. So it's a good translation of a corrupt text is what they would say. Now, naturally, as Christians, we would disagree with that. We think that our Bible has been preserved very well, contrary to the accusations made by Mormon leaders and Mormon scholars.
She goes on and writes, Mormons do have some rather different views on Christianity than the mainstream. Some eras emphasize these views more than others in the history of our church. Do these different beliefs make us a cult? Does the Book of Mormon make us a cult? I don't think so, but I can see why other Christians do see us that way. I'm not interested in giving up the Book of Mormon, but I think we can work at making it clear how much we value the Bible and that we still believe in the Trinity and almost every other Christian belief, but that we see it differently. As for Christ and Satan being brothers, we believe everyone is a child of God, even Satan and his followers. Don't other Christians believe the same?
Wow. I would say, no, we don't. In fact, that's another misnomer. It's a phrase that we often hear many times, even among some professing Christians, that we're all the children of God. But biblically, that's not so. We are certainly all the creation of God. But you only become a son or daughter of God when you put your faith in Christ and he has forgiven you of your sins. That's when you become a child of God. So she has a presupposition regarding Christianity that's an error, and so we wouldn't agree with that.
And then she goes on and says that she believes in the Trinity. What do you think she thinks she means by that, and what do you think that she thinks we mean?
I would have a very difficult time to assume that she believes the Trinity as we believe the Trinity, as it states actually in the Athanasian Creed, which I think is a very clear definition of what the Trinity is and what the Trinity has been understood to mean over the many centuries. We believe in one God and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. And certainly Mormonism would not fall into that category. They certainly do divide the substance or the essence. They believe that there are three gods within the one Godhead. That is not Trinity. That is tritheism. Now, she might assume that's the Trinity, but that's not a correct understanding of what the Trinity is.
And I think her misunderstanding of that, what you've just explained here, is problematic because she has false ideas of what it is that we're teaching and versus what she thinks Trinity means for them. I mean, if you're going to say that you believe in the Trinity, Robert Millett, who is a professor emeritus over at BYU in A Different Jesus, the Christ of the Latter-day Saints, a book that he wrote on page 171. He wrote, if an acceptance of the doctrine of the Trinity makes me a Christian, then of course Latter-day Saints are not Christians, for they believe the doctrine of the Trinity as expressed in modern Protestant and Catholic theology is the product of the reconciliation of Christian theology with Greek philosophy. Millett denies that they believe in the Trinity, and yet she says she does.
Well, Joseph Smith certainly didn't believe in the Trinity. He called it a monster. And so for her to say that we still believe in the Trinity, I would have to ask for a definition of what she means by that term. Because certainly the definition that most Mormons have given regarding the Trinity is not considered to be an orthodox definition of the term. Usually when I hear Mormons use the word Trinity, they are confusing it with tritheism. They are not the same.
Okay, on to brainwashing and indoctrination. I personally cringe when I hear about certain kinds of youth camps that some stakes in the Mormon church promote or even sponsor. Our Mormon Trek reenactments can sometimes have some of this flavor. So can EFY experiences. Anytime that food is denied someone in order to promote a spiritual experience, I personally twinge a bit. Fasting is something that Mormons believe is an important way to understand poverty and to come closer to God. However, combining that with a multi-day experience that includes hard labor and the pressure to bear testimony at the end, to me, begins to become akin to brainwashing. People telling me that it works when I object don't help either. I know that Mormons who are parents want to keep their children in the church, and they see the influences of the world as being bad. They feel that these camp experiences are the way to counteract the time teens spend at school and with friends. But think carefully about the methods we use. We want authentic experiences in spirituality, not ones that are being manufactured or manipulated, and ones that seem forced are definitely out.
Now notice, folks, she's talking about her own people here. She's not taking outside accusations. She's actually looking at it from her own personal experience and having a problem with some of the programs that are within the church itself, the Mormon church. Now, I should explain to our listeners that EFY stands for Especially for Youth and is a week-long seminar/summer camp program that is run by Brigham Young University's Division of Continuing Education. EFY, or Especially for Youth, is geared towards those who are between the ages of 14 and 18. She goes on to say, is psychological abuse or intimidation ever used in Mormonism? It's easy to say that this simply never happens, at least not on an institutional level. The church doesn't send people around to the homes of others to get them to quote-unquote fall in line. We don't threaten other members to get them to pay their tithing. We certainly don't demand that they vote in a certain way. We don't shout or yell at them in church meetings in order to get them to give up their cigarettes or alcohol. But, and there's a dot, dot, dot. She goes on to say, I've heard people talk about using positive peer pressure to get the youth to make the right choices in terms of following the word of wisdom and remaining chaste before marriage. Is this intimidation? Now, I would say in some cases, certainly it would be intimidation. But when she talks about the psychological abuse or intimidation not ever being used in Mormonism, I think she sees that that is used sometimes. And certainly when they say we don't threaten members to get them to pay their tithing, okay, but if you don't, you're not going to be exalted. That's a doctrine that's ingrained in the Mormon church. So certainly that would be an intimidation factor.
Yeah, isn't that a threat? Because they're sitting in front of their bishop and asked, do you tithe? And you have to say yes or no. And if you say no, I mean, they have the ability to know if you've only given $2,000 and you're somebody who's probably making $70,000 or $80,000, you got tithing settlement to deal with.
And of course, if you don't pay the tithing, you don't get the temple recommend. You don't get the temple recommend, you don't go to the temple. You don't go to the temple, you can kiss exaltation goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore.